it's different, but basically you can summarize a page and a half.
Cancel
that.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a
full-time
topic.
Okay, it was
Hanukkah? What would you like to talk about? Oh, I have a good topic that I want to talk about, but it's on the list. There's this book that just came out called Eating Animals. It was actually written by a Jew, happened to be, and the Social Justice Society at Stern, it's like the book of the month. And so like I read the book just so I could show up there and like, just tell them that they're a bunch of liberal crazies. And like actually like eating like a hot dog or a warm popcorn just to pick them off. So but I was just wondering like how does halacha view eating animals? Let's see, you know.
Okay.
They were telling me stuff like, oh, it's only because it's Shabbos and this rabbi didn't really eat meat.
They say Rav Cook was a vegetarian.
Yeah, stuff like that.
But you see, the Torah is not against eating animals.
Right,
Adam didn't eat the basar, but. That was only after the novel
that they were not studying things right. From one or whatever. That's
right.
In the first instance of the Korban is
right now. Right. Okay. Okay, Chanukah. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that Chanukah is mitzvah ne'er ishu beisa. The Iker mitzvah is ne'er ishu beisa. That means that you only have to light one candle every night on Chanukah. Every household lights one candle every night. Okay? Then that's the Iker HaMitzvah. That's the Iker HaMitzvah. And the Mahadrin, those that want to be more scrupulous, light Kaminyan Anshei Habayis. So if there are five people in the household, every night they light five candles. And then there's Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, is Machlokes B'Shamay U'B'Tzilo. B'Shamay says Tolches V'Holech. B'Tzilo says Moshef V'Holech. Because B'Shamay Sheet is the first night 8, the second night 7, 6. And B'Tzilo says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like we do. Okay? Now, there's a Machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. Whether number 3 is going back to number 2, or is number 3 going back to number 1? Meaning, in other words, Tosfos Shita is that 3 is going back on 1. Meaning, number 1 spoke about one candle a night. Number 2 spoke about every night 5. And number 3 spoke about just doing it in maybe possibly like Basil, ascending order. So basically, instead of doing one a night, you do first night 1, second night 2, third night 3, etc. But the other way, the Rambam, at least one opinion of the Rambam is that 3 goes back on 2. So that means that 2 says if there are 5 people in your house, so 5 every night. So number 3 says you do it the amount of people times the night it is. So the first night, it's the first night, is 5 times 1. Second night, 5 times 2. So the first night is 5, second night, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, etc. And that's the, so that's the two shitas. Now, so according to Tosfos, basically it's just the first night 1, second night 2, third night 3, etc. And according to the Rambam, it's the amount of nights multiplied by the amount of nights multiplied by how many people. So if it's 5 people, first night 5, 10, 15, 20. Now technically speaking, in the Rambam, it's only one person lighting that amount. Whereas the Rambam seems to say the Balabais If there are five people in the household, so the first night he lights five, the second night like he lights 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, etc. That's the Rambam. Right. Now the Ramah has this thing that instead of one person lighting, everyone in the house lights their own separate menorah. So the Sfardim, but the Sfardim don't believe in that, because the Sfardim hold like, in this case, the Taz points out, it's interesting, the Sfardim usually follow the Rambam, here they're following Tosfos. So the Sfardim hold it's only one menorah for the whole household. First night one, second night two, three, four, five, etc. And that's the Rambam. And in Ashkenazim, everyone lights their own menorah. Okay. Now, Bizman Chazal, the menorah was lit where? Outdoors. Because it was presuming Nisa for the people in the street. Bizman Hazeh, menorah is really lit for the indoor people, for yourself, for the household. Okay, according to the Rambam, it's for the household. And according to Bizman Chazal, they lit either at Shki or at Seis, and it lasted for half an hour, because that's when the people were still walking in the street. After half an hour after Shki or at Seis, no one was in the street anymore. So if you missed that half an hour, finished. You couldn't light anymore. Bizman Hazeh, that we're lighting for indoors, so then you can light even much later. So sort of the mitzvah changed. The word says, Misakon ve'elach, minichal shulchan ovedayim. And from the time of Sakana, when it was a Sakana to light outside, they started lighting indoors. So people always ask, where is the best place to light? So there's no chiyuv to light in the window, Bizman Hazeh. People think, oh, you have to light in the window. You don't have to light in the window. The window is a nice thing, you can get more people to see it. But if there's a reason why the window wouldn't be so safe or something like that, then don't light in the window. So it's not that you light in the window at all costs. You light in the window if it's safe to light in the window. But you still yotze if you light on the table. You can light in the table. In our house, we light on the table. Because the window is a ledge and the kids could be there. And there's, you don't want to get the shade. It could be shades for some people have shade, That's the most important thing, is the safety. Because Meikar Din, you don't have to light in the window, Bizman Hazeh. Yeah?
So in a situation where the only window that would be safe doesn't really overlook the street, it's kind of just facing another apartment building, would it be better to light?
Well, if the other apartment building has Jews in it, so then you get that advantage.
But if it's a subject that there's Jews or not, and if you know that people will be walking into the apartment, which is preferable.
In other words, you're lighting mainly for the people inside. If you could also get people outdoors, so the more the better. But if, say, there's no one there, or it's just Goyim in the other building, whereas in the parallel building, then you don't have to.
So if I light in my apartment, all our windows are only in the bedroom. So no one's during the night. No one's really in the bedroom either. We're all working
in the
living, getting whatever.
So
living
light over there. Don't light in the bedroom.
So it'd be the permanent. Our first priority is ourselves, and then other people.
Right. Exactly. So if you're gonna light in the bedroom, and you guys aren't gonna see it, you're not gonna be there. It's better to light in the living room where you'll be. If there would be a window there, then. Okay, then that could be an added thing.
Yeah,
Okay. So that's the that's the story with the window. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch has a minhag, which we're all familiar with, to light in shul, which is a minhag. It's not brought in the Gemara. A minhag to light in shul. Now, where did this minhag come from? So the Beis Yosef gives several explanations to the minhag. One explanation is that since we no longer light outdoors, so we're lacking in that aspect of Pirsumei Nisa, so therefore to make up for that, we light it in shul. That's what the Beis Yosef. And then another reason he gives his quotes is because that there used to be guests in shul. For the guests who didn't have. So the Bezmach Hazal, when it meant he had a guest, it meant that he lived in the shul, meaning he stayed in the shul. It's not like you have a guest for Shabbos, you bring him to shul to daven, and you take him home with you to sleep and eat. The guests there, Bezmach Hazal, were passing through. They weren't necessarily anyone's guests. And basically, they stayed in the shul. They ate in the shul. I guess people didn't have accommodations where they could take the people home. So the orchim stayed in the shul. So that's so those are the two reasons. There is a question whether is it appropriate to light the menorah only in shul or in any public gathering. Sometimes at a wedding, like they want to light the menorah or something like that. So many poskim hold that you should only—it's only meant to do the minhag is only in shul. It's not like at any public gathering. So even though you have a public gathering in a wedding, not necessarily light the menorah. Yeah.
I know that like Chabad
lights
like many like cities around.
Right, so Chabad, and they make a bracha too, right? Do they? Right, so they hold the other way, that it's not a din in shul. They hold it's a din to publicize the miracle all over. But they have fire menorahs or just candle, or just light bulbs?
I saw light bulbs.
They only make a broth on fire.
Yeah, they only make it on fire, yeah. Yeah. Right, so that's the question, whether it's only in shul, or I think most hold, the Rav Soloveitchik held that way, everybody, many hold it's only in shul. But there are those that disagree and say it could be any public, because the whole idea is to have an extra Pirsumei Nisa, so maybe any place could be appropriate. Maybe any place could be appropriate. Now, so here in the yeshiva, people light their own menorahs. It used to be in the old days in YU, people lit in the dorms, in their rooms. That was the way it was done. I remember walking out here in Hanukkah and looking at Morgenstern and Rubin, and it was all full with menorahs in the windows. You could see the whole dormitory. Was full of menorahs in the windows. And that's because that's where the people lived. And then they said, no, you can't light in the dorm inside, but you can light in the hallway next to your room. And then they said you can't even do that. You have to light in the designated areas in the dormitories. So there was always like a controversy about that. You know, because is that considered your bias? So Rav Schacht always had, was not such a big fan of this idea because it's not really your bias. Others say, no, it's the courtyard to your house. So it's leading up to your bias, and some say that's okay. And Rav Abadi said to me, he thought that Bezman Hazeh, that basically you're lighting for inside, for your own self, so it's not really a din and bias anymore. It could be any place. So therefore, you can do it any place. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Israel for Hanukkah once, and we lighted the Hanukkah in the lobby of the town.
Yeah, where were you?
Israel.
Were in Yeshiva or in?
Yeah, it was during my year in Yeshiva, my parents came to visit, so I went with them, like Yerushalayim and so on. So, it was okay.
So what did you do?
The lobby of the hotel.
We went down to the lobby and we lighted.
The lobby of the hotel.
Yeah, because we had an opinion like this. But then I heard some other people that it's not really okay.
No, you can. Well, that's the question. Same thing what they do here. They light in the lobby of the dormitory. Because the hotel is not going to light you light it in their rooms. So then you light in the lobby. You can light in the lobby. No, his opinion is that Bezman Hazeh, that we're not lighting for the. In other words, it's not a din in the bias anymore. So everyone's lighting their own menorah. We're lighting for the people inside. Well, you're lighting for yourself. If you're an Ashkenazi, you're lighting for yourself. So you're not lighting anymore. It used to be they light outdoors for the people of the Rishus HaRabim. So you light outside your house. But today, we're not lighting outside the house for the people who are just around. We're just lighting for ourselves. So then maybe it shouldn't matter where you light it. But you can light anywhere. You can light, any place where they will allow you to light. That's basically what he said. In other words, the whole concept of lighting outside your house is not done. So then you're lighting inside. So once you can light inside your house, so it shouldn't matter whether you light inside your house or you light someplace else.
Well, I mean, this whole issue of persimmonies, I don't see how that is even inherently connected to, doing it inside your house anyway, because you can light it in a completely different place and have other people walking by and seeing it. So I don't see how it would be connected in the first place.
And what would be connected to what?
Persimmonisa would be connected to lighting in your house. You said the whole reason why.
Right. In other words, persimmonisa would be connected to lighting in your house. In other words, if you're lighting in your house, so you're lighting. If you're a Svardi, like Rav Abadi said, if you're a Svardi, so then you do one menorah for the whole household. So you're lighting for the household. If you're an Ashkenazi, you're basically lighting for yourself. And you're letting the other people in your household see. So Rav Abadi's point was that once you're lighting inside the house for yourself, so it shouldn't matter now where you're lighting. You can light in someone else's house. It doesn't necessarily have to be your house. Because it's, you know. But Bizman Chazal, when they light outdoors for the Shus HaRabim, so that was the takana to light outside your house, specifically for the Shus HaRabim. So that's the different opinions. So, Bekitzer, if you can light in your own house, great. But if not, then there's what to rely on to light any place where they'll allow you to light. Someone just asked me a shayla, they're going to be away first night of Hanukkah, they can be out of town, and they're not gonna. They're staying in a hotel, but they have an office where they're. But they can't light in the hotel, and they're gonna be in the plane during later in the night, and the time they get back, it'll be morning till they get back home. So, according to Rav Abadi, you could light in your in the office. Because in your own office, you could light.
What if you... Like, I'm flying to Las Vegas on Thursday night. So, do I light here? Or do I light
what
there?
Thursday night is the second night of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
What time are you flying?
That's at 8, so I'm leaving here at 5.
Right, so light here at 5.
And the way back, if my flight's at 11, I should fly. And then, do you have to light where you're going to be that night, or you're going to, wherever you have opportunity to light?
Why do you see light when he lands? Like, I'm also, well, I've got a landing in LA at like 12:20, but when I get back home at 1, it's...
In other words, you can lie here before you leave.
I'm not going to be there.
Right. It was really the din of sleeping over by the poskim was only said when it's not really your, as someone once explained, it's really not your bais. Mm-hmm. So then you have to sleep over to make some type of kvis. But if this is your bais...
But on the way back, I'm not sleeping in Las Vegas, I'm getting here in the morning.
Where are you going to be staying?
On the airplane.
Oh, before the airplane?
Hotel.
So what are you going to be doing during Hanukkah? Are you going to light in the... There's going to be a place in the lobby?
Yeah.
So do that same thing that night.
Even though I'm not checked in anymore. And it's going to be confusing because when you check out, you don't check out...
What time do you check out?
I check out, I assume, 12 in the afternoon.
Oh, so you're not going to be there. And
I don't know how I'm going through with an organization. I don't know. I assume they're in the care, but I'm just like unsure where.
Right. In other words, it could be that you're not allowed to light anymore because you're not in the out of the hotel. So that's a separate reason.
Yeah. So then if I can't light there, and I can't light it.
And then when do you go to the airport?
I'm leaving for the airport probably at 8:00.
So where are you going to be from 12 to 8?
I'm not really sure how that works. So I'm going to hopefully figure that out. So whenever I.
So hopefully they'll have a place for you to light.
So even though it's not my home, if I need a new place.
Right, so according to Rav Abadi, since he's running, you can write wherever, as long as they let you light there.
Right.
You see, Bizman Chazal, there was another idea that if you were away, your wife could light for you in the house. So Rav Abadi thought that was only Bizman Chazal when they were lighting for the people of the street. So then your wife could light. But if today they were lighting for ourselves, so if you're not there, you're not Yotze. So I remember last year, I had to go to Chicago on Hanukkah for a chasana, and I slept over. Then I came back the next morning, and my wife lived here at home, and I lived there in Chicago, because everybody holds that din that she could light for you doesn't apply because we're lighting for ourselves. So if you're not there, it doesn't count for you. So we both lived. B'chlal, there's a question whether a married woman lights menorah or not. Because Pasha says, the Gemara says, that women are chayiv in near Hanukkah. So should they light? So some have many of the minhag that married women just yotze with the husband. But as Rabbi Vadi pointed out, it's only if she's there, right? His menorah. But if her husband's going to be away, then she should light her own.
According to the Rambam, she counted when people in the home because she's not chayav. She's not chayav because her husband, she shouldn't be counted one of the people in the home.
I mean, Pasha says she is one of the people in the home. When we count the. We go 5 times 2. 5 meant husband, wife, 3 children.
Yeah, but why shouldn't have the wife? So it's covered by the husband. It seemed like from the Rambam was saying.
One question is like this: according to the Rambam, when you make the calculation of how many people are going to light, mm-hmm. it's the amount of people in the house times the number of nights. So the amount of people includes. The only question is according to the Rambam that everyone lights separate. The women light as well separately. So many of the minhag that women don't light, married women.
Married women, yeah.
But as Rabbi pointed out, that's only if they're going to be there to see their husband's hadlaka. But if they like the case I gave when I was away, then they're not. Okay. So. Okay. Now, there is a concept in Hilchos Chanukah called Achsenoi. Achsenoi means you're a guest. We use it all the time. You go away for Shabbos Chanukah to someone's house. So you're Achsenoi. So it's not your house, but it's not like you're on the street either. You're a guest. So the Gemara says, what does an Achsenoi do? So the Gemara says, Achsenoi Mishtatev the Priti. In other words, simple reading of the Gemara means he doesn't have to light on his own. He just gives some pruta to the Baal HaBayis, and he becomes part of his hadlaka. He give a coin to the Baal HaBayis, and you become part of his hadlaka. That's Mishtatev Priti. Sachsenai is Mishtatev Priti. Now, the question is, what if he wants to light on his own? So the Mishnah Berurah says he could light on his own. He could light on his own. But Rav Salvechik, Rav Shechel is close to Rav Salvechik, and the Galgi Masechta say no, that you can't light on your own, assuming not like Rav Abadi's assumption that we still need a din bias. So if you need a din bias, it's not your house, so how can you light? So he says, so the only way you can light is if you become part of his hadlaka. You become part of the Baal HaBayis' hadlaka. In other words, you give him money, and you now own part of his oil, so to speak, and therefore you're part of his hadlaka, and therefore you can do that. So if you're going away for Shabbos, so that's a suggestion. Instead of having to schlep your own menorah and candles, you can just give a coin to the Baal HaBayis to be part of his hadlaka. And I'm always a big believer that the less fire, the better. You know, so some say, as I said, al pidin, Rav Salvechik said, you have to be mishtatev b'priti. Others, Mishnah Berurah says, you don't. You can be mishtatev b'priti, but you don't have to be mishtatev b'priti. But I prefer it because it's better not to have so many menorahs lit. You know, chas v'shalom, there shouldn't be a fire.
So what if no one, like last year I went to, I had opera. So we all stayed at a dormitory. So none of us was the master of the home. It was just...
Where did you stayed at a dormitory where?
In Brooklyn.
In
so all the students were gone for the vacation. So we were just there by ourselves.
Right.
So we all brought our own menorahs and lit whatever.
Right.
But if according to the rub, what would we have done? If we're not the guest of... It's not our home, and we're not the guest of anyone.
Right. Yeah, it would have been a problem.
We theoretically, because in theory we're guests of the chassan.
Where'd you eat?
We ate at the chassan's house.
Oh. So some say, I don't know, I can't say what the Rav would say, but some say, like Rav Abadi, you could be mishtatev b'pruta, right? But provided you're going to be there when they're lighting in their house. So if you get there before Shabbos and go quickly to the house and give a pruta, you could...
We'd have to watch and light.
You'd have to be there at the hadlaka.
All right.
But I asked Rav Abadi, what if, you know, you go away for Shabbos and you sleep in one place, you're eating in another place? That's a whole discussion. So he said, just be mishtatev in one of the places. Mishtatev b'pruta.
dormitory question. I happen to have a friend who's coming over Wednesday night, and I know that he's not going to be bringing his own menorah or anything. So I'm not the balabais of my apartment. So how would that work as far as...
Are you in the dorm or in the apartment?
I'm part of the dorm, so...
So let him be mishtatef bepruta to you, unless he, if he wants to bring his own menorah, fine, or he's mishtatef. He's your
resident of the.
You're a resident of the building, so he's your guest.
Okay, because he's my guest, I could be mishtatef.
Yeah, he's your guest, so then you can. Okay. There's a question about Motzai Shabbos, where you light. Some say Motzai Shabbos, if you're about to leave, wait till you get back home. Some say if you're staying there a little bit, you can light there. According to Rav Abadi, it doesn't matter, because you can light anywhere, really. So if you want to light by... and others disagree. In other words, say you go to a question, you go to a Hanukkah party. So the Taz says, you go to a Hanukkah party, you can't light there because you're not sleeping over. If you'd be sleeping over, then you could light there. And if everybody holds with Musman Azeh, it shouldn't make a difference. Meaning you could light anywhere because the nature of the mitzvah changed. It's no longer a mitzvah on the bayis, it's a mitzvah on the yochid. Everyone lights their own menorah. But the Ramah's thing is a chiddush. Because the two opinions in the Rishonim are either one menorah for the whole household, or the two opinions both hold is only one menorah for the whole household, one person lighting. It's just you light just one first night one, second night two, third night three, four, five, six, or do you light the amount of nights multiplied by the amount of people. So this idea that the Ramah has that everyone lights their own menorah really is a chiddush. That's not really found anywhere specifically. That's why the Sefer Galgi Masechta of the Varnik thinks maybe it's a chashash brachol avatola for everyone to light, because the Rambam didn't speak about everyone lighting. The Rambam only spoke about different people lighting, and one person lighting for the whole family. First night 5, second night 10, whereas Tosa says first night 1, second night 2, second night, third night 3, etc. It's true that the Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, explains that really he wants to fulfill both opinions. See, the Chesaron of the Rambam, you don't know which... you see 5 candles, you don't know which night it is. So you don't know which night it is. So, but if each one will light indoors separately, so then you'll have the mile of amount of people, because everyone will be lighting, and you'll also know which night it is. So that's the advantage. So when they were lighting outdoors, so it was all together, you would know which night anyway, because all the candles were bunched together. But now they were lighting indoors, you could light in different places. So now you can have both. You can have the amount of people and the amount of nights being known. So you get both. But it's still a chiddush, this whole idea. Really, Mepashas is one person should light either just one menorah per night or one menorah per night per the amount of people.
Is it the person when he says tell you what night it is?
Well, in other words, the Gemara discusses, according to Beis Hillel, that that you mosif a holech. So the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, either because malim b'kodesh, or k'neged yomim hayotzim. In other words, how many days passed? One night passed, two nights passed. So there's some idea of... So the Beis Halevi, the Nagon, some Achronim explain that there's this notion about knowing which night it is.
And also, isn't there, what about the idea that more people that would Hadrasmala?
Ravam Hadrasmala.
So shouldn't that has the Ramah do like it seems like that's always been a principle that rides through everything.
Right, so that would be make sense if one person was lighting for everybody.
So the Ramah,
right. That's another reason why it really should have been. Somehow this Ramah like took over the world. So this Ramah got everyone lighting their own, you know, own menorah. The Sfarim never had such a thing. The Sfarim do it the best. The Sfarim have one menorah for the whole family.
So right now you can't start there. I can't start doing that now because I'm not
sure
that I can't.
Right.
And
if it was up to me, you know, in the Tel's Yeshiva, I think they once, God forbid, they once had a fire on Hanukkah, so they have a rule in the Tel's Yeshiva that there's only one hadlaka for the whole yeshiva in the base medrash. No one, like, even not even in the vestibule do they allow. I think that's the best thing. They should have, okay, why you would be, you can't fit in everyone in one place, but at least have like 4 or 5 central locations. And have everyone come at a certain time, and that's it. If I was in charge, that's what I would insist on. But I'm not in charge. But that's what they do in Tells. They have one hadlock in the base medrash for the whole yeshiva. And,
the idea that you can't, I don't know if we brought up yet, but that you can't eat before you...
Right, so you're not supposed to eat before you light the menorah, meaning have dinner mm-hmm. before you light the menorah. So you should light the menorah first, because that's part of a general rule, that you're not supposed to do anything before you do a mitzvah. You're not supposed to eat before you do a mitzvah.
Like, if you, my sister, she's taking a flight earlier than me, so she's been too early to light here.
Where's she going?
Las Vegas also. So she's going to hold to light in Las Vegas. But can she eat on the plane?
Well, she is she's gonna get it to Las Vegas what time?
10 o'clock?
Yeah, so she's right there.
But can she eat on the plane?
Yeah. Because the whole point of not eating is that you're gonna come to forget to light, because but if you're in the plane you can't light on the plane anyway. So what do you gain by not eating?
As long as she sets an alarm, then
she'll
be fine.
Right, she shouldn't have a reminder, but on the plane, it's even a better situation, because the whole idea of eating is that you're going to come to forget. But here, you're in a situation where you can't light anyway, so you're on the plane. There's also Machlokas Poskim in the Magen Avraham and the Morak Tzir. We mentioned that the Indian of lighting in Shul. So the question is whether 10 people have to be there when you light in Shul. Well, since it's for Pirsumei Nisa, the Hadlaka is for Pirsumei Nisa, so do we need 10 people to be there or not? What do we say? You see, a lot of times when I light in Shul, say, especially on Friday, they light in shul of Shabbos Chanukah. So people, you know, aren't there, and they usually light before Mincha, because they don't want to light after Mincha, because it's got too close to Shabbos. And, you know, so not a lot of people aren't there yet. They're barely a minion, not even a minion maybe. So the question is, you have to wait for the minion to come. So Magen Avraham has the idea, no, as long as they'll come later. The minion will come later. And Rav Yaakov Emden, the Morak Tzir, said, no, you should have 10 people there, b'shas the hadlaka.
Talking about lighting on Friday night, when the rabbi of Ashur is saying that you should daven mincha before you light the Hanukkah, because once you light Hanukkah, you're saying it's the next day already. And so then you go daven mincha, so then like you're...
Some have a minute to light the daven mincha before the Hanukkah candles, but there are many that hold you don't need to be makpid. So, And in Shabbos Chanukah, the minhag is to get the long candles, so it should light the half an hour after Tzeis HaKachavim. See, normally the Shulchan Aruch holds you light at Tzeis HaKachavim. So Shkia now is around 4:30, 4:31. So Tzeis HaKachavim, different opinions what that is. I mean, for Shabbos, people keep like 45, 50 minimum minutes after Shkia. That's for Shabbos, which is an Issa Skila. For Chanukah Licht, people will give you more makel. They don't have to wait. Some people wait only half an hour, etc. After Shkia, the light. And the Vilna Gaon's opinion is that you light at Shkia. Those that follow the Gra, and in Eretz Yisrael, the Gra is very popular. So those that follow the Gra, they light half an hour. They light at Shkia, and then people try if they light at Shkia that it still lasts half an hour after Tzeisk.
What has Shkia now?
So it's around, well, I think it's 4:31 or something like that. So that's the. That's a time that you know, a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael light. I mean, whatever the equivalent is in Eretz Yisrael.
I heard an interesting point regarding the thin candles and lasting best for an hour, because if everyone's lighting in the same room, using these thin candles that last just over 30 minutes, with all the heat that they generate, they melt in like 15 or 20 minutes. So a lot of people don't even realize that it's not lasting the required time in these like central rooms.
Right.
So how does that work as far as us fulfilling our obligation?
Right. So the question is, definitely the practice is that we should try to have our candles lit for half an hour. But Rav Abadi said to me that Bizman Hazeh, that we're lighting, see, it could be that Mikra Din, Rav Abadi points out that Bizman Hazeh, we're lighting for ourselves, we're lighting for indoors, so maybe it doesn't have to last as long. But see, Bizman, the half an hour came because that's the half an hour when people were walking in the street. So then, if you light half an hour, then people will see it. And after half an hour, there's no one left to see. But Rav Abadi said to me, what if you light 15 minutes after Bizman, and there's only 15 minutes left, so that Bizman Chazal, and there was only Inyan to light for those 15 minutes. So today they were lighting Mibifnim, so even though the minig is to have it last for half an hour, but maybe that's not necessary, strictly necessary, because we're lighting for ourselves, so we saw it. It's the count of half an hour is because you light it for the street people, and therefore those people would walk for half an hour. And that would be the difference. So you could rely on that, even though the Chatkila we try to, but there's no other alternative, you know, because...
Well,
if you have oil, then it's going to last much longer, right? So,
are you going to blow out your candles at half an hour?
Yeah, I mean, we're all post going to say that, you know, as long as it lasts, then it can be, you know, like sometimes people have to leave the house and they don't want to leave the house with lit fire. So then they'll blow it out. The minhag is of the Maril that we make all the brachas before the Hadlach. We make the Lav Degner Shal Chanukah, Shal Sanisim, and Shachianu, and then we light. Some say that you only make Lahadlik first, and then the Shal Sanishin Shachianu you do after. But I'm in against the Maril that we do all three before. We do all three before.
Why do you need to lay a shamas? I understand the point of
it
originally to light
up
a candle. If I have an oil
menorah,
I'm not using the
shamas. Well, it's also to show that you're not allowed to shtamish or.
So if we end up getting some benefit, we say it's from the shaman.
Right, so you're getting, you end up getting benefit from the neighbors. Then there's a question about electric menorahs. How come we don't use electric menorahs? Because if we consider electricity, I'm not talking about fluorescent, I'm talking about regular bulbs, and we consider that ash. So then, what can we use in there? I always tell people, Rabbi says this, that for Neir Shabbos, you can use electricity. Like if you're in a hotel for Shabbos, so you shouldn't have your wife, your mother light, and then with those table with 100 candles, because you're not really using them. So just make the bracha on the, say you keep a light on in the bathroom, so flick the switch on, then go out of the bathroom, make the bracha, and the yotze with that. Even if it's fluorescent.
That's better than lighting downstairs.
Yeah, because downstairs it's going to be in some corner, someplace, and you're not using it at all. You're not benefiting from it all. So this is much better. But by Hanukkah we don't allow. So that's a question. Why don't we allow it? So some say
we would definitely more likely to use it for your benefit than the light than the force for a candle.
Right, but if you don't, you still don't light it.
But it's definitely a lot more likely.
Right. So some say it's because there's a halacha that there has to be in the receptacle. Well, the time you light, there has to be an amount that will light for the requisite amount of time, like amount of oil. Whereas you can't say, right now when I'm lighting, I just have a little bit of oil that lasts 10 minutes. Maybe need for half an hour. Well, in 5 minutes from now, I'll get more oil, I'll put it in. That's no good. You needed the shas halakha that there should be the shear of the shem. Shas Hadlaka, there should be the Shir of the Shem. And if you don't have that, you're not Yotze. So some say by electricity, so it's a constant flow. You don't have it there at the time. So therefore, that's why some say it's no good. Others say maybe the fact that it's a constant flow, maybe that would be okay. Maybe the concept that you have to be all there is because. Just have that, so even though it's going to come, but it's not really holding by coming. But here, it's like a constant flow, maybe it should be okay. But what's the nafkamina? Some say, according to that reason, that a battery should be okay. Because a battery, everything's there. Nothing is flowing in, right? All the source of energy, it's all there. So maybe a battery. So that was a discussion, that maybe even if you hold electric menorahs are no good, but maybe battery should be. I don't know if anyone had produced a battery menorah. Some of the discussion, if you're in an airplane, you have to light, so maybe just light a flashlight in the airplane.
And just keep it on for half an hour.
Yeah. But we said, in the air you should base on, so at least you have. But the pashas is that's not so good solution because the mice it's not bigger that it's neachanika. It's not going to be noticeable that it's neachanika, and therefore it's good svara to say that wouldn't be good. But that's why a person's traveling in Hanukkah is to make sure to figure out what to do.
Idea regarding electricity, just like you can't make matzah out of rice or something because it can't become chametz, by using electricity, there's no real chashash that it will go out or that the fuel source will dwindle.
Right.
So like, just like it has to reach a certain amount of time, you could also say that it also has to be able to have the potential to go out. And electricity doesn't have that same types of fire, like an actual fire.
Well, you're saying it's a very interesting idea, but we don't find such a halacha like that. Right. We do find, I like your thought process, it's interesting. But you understand the difference is that we don't have such a notion. The truth of the matter is, I mean, the conservative movement has taken upon, and I think it became more of a, this like became something they did, so it was like the divide between orthodoxy and conservative. But that was something that they did, and therefore that it was like associated with that movement. So that's why we don't. Could be the halakhic reasons also, but the halakhic reasons, one maybe you could question them. Well, nice, we don't do it. But it's interesting that Rabbi Chalap always points out that there was one big. It used to be one of the big divides between the conservative and orthodox was making kiddush on grape juice. That conservatives did and orthodox were never allowed. And today, Hasidim do it. Everyone is making kiddush on grape juice. And so that somehow fell by the wayside, but I don't know whether this. But the nice, we can't do it because it's not the minhag. Even though the technical halacha, one could perhaps question, whether it's strictly us or not. But the nice, we don't do it. And then, in other words, the minhag is after you light the first candle, you can already say Haneris Halacha. And after the Lincoln, then the minhag just.
Are you allowed to wait a little bit? Or do you need to start saying immediately?
No, good question. The minhag is to do it while you're, in other words, already light one candle.
Your entire family's lighting. The father lights, and there's a couple children, right? So actually, the father light was waiting for the rest of his children to light before he started saying Haneris Halacha. Shouldn't she have started saying it once?
The minhag is to say it as you light it, so each one will say it, and then they can sing the whole story together at the end.
Okay.
It's not the end of the world if you wait either. Hanukkah is considered Yom Tov of Torah Shel Baal Peh, because it's the first Yom Tov that's not in Tanakh. Right? Like the Gilgamesh Esther is still in Tanakh, Hanukkah is not in Tanakh. So Hanukkah is said to be the Yom Tov of Torah Shel Baal Peh. And the whole idea that the Shemen is Tameh is only a Tumah Midrabanan. But you see that Hashem made the miracle to preserve this Chumra Midrabanan, so Hashem is mashik the Din Rabbanan. So that that became the minhag. Then we see Halanisim, both in benching and in davening. It's not makif. If you miss it, you don't have to go back. The minhag is we don't say it in Alamech. Because if you eat sukkaniyot over Chanukah, you don't say Alanisi. Only say in benching and in Shmoneh Esrei. And even then, if you miss it, you don't go back. There's no chova of a suda like there is on Purim. So the Bush says that the reason is because on Purim there was a physical destruction, or physical, I shouldn't say destruction, there was a physical decree to destroy the people. Hanukkah, they weren't trying to destroy anyone, they just wanted us to assimilate. So it was a spiritual victory. So therefore, we don't have that requirement of a physical meal.
Is it current? What we're talking about Hanukkah is the menorah. Is the menorah last handed, not the military?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question. We're celebrating both, or...
If we're celebrating the military also, then Lish's explanation seems...
Right, but the military thing was also not about if they were trying to kill us. They wanted to...
It's still the military. They were more than happy to kill us.
Right. Right. But the main idea was the... It wasn't like Purim, where there was a... You know, the main point was the annihilation, not just the Hanukkah, where it was about the Okay, so those are the some of the big principles of Hanukkah. Okay, so I wish you, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see each other next Monday, and wish you all a Freilich and Hanukkah, and all the best. Okay, sorry, I came in late.